Book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 9 is where we're going to start. This is Teach Us to Pray, Lord, part 4 from the book of Matthew, chapter 6. And I have a confession. I was surprised this morning when I went into my office. I just studied and prepared as I normally do. And this morning when I was reviewing the message for today, I was looking through my notes and I noticed, whoa, I have twice the notes that I normally have on a Sunday morning. I have this note limit, you know, and when I reach that limit, I know that's as far as I need to go because for time, right? Well, I never thought about it this week, and I looked down this morning and I realized that I had double the note capacity of what I should have had for this morning. So, well, I say all that to say this, probably not going to finish what I intended to start in the notes that I gave you, but that's okay. We'll pick up wherever we stop today next week, okay? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Would you stand with me as you read from the Word of God? Jesus is speaking here. He says, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we praise You because You are God. There is none beside You. And we praise You for our Savior Jesus Christ, the only way to heaven. Now, Lord, we pray that You will indeed teach us to pray. Teach us how to apply these lessons that Jesus has left for us. That, Father, everyone present here may become prayer warriors in Your sight. We give You all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I just want to reemphasize with you once again the purpose of this study. The purpose of this study is to prepare us for the ministry that's in front of us. Specifically, a building ministry that will increase the opportunity and ability of the church to minister, right? And so we've got these great plans to build a building, and we're going to do a giving campaign and everything. But before we get there, we've got to get right, okay? We've got to be spiritually right. You can't do great things in the Lord until you have your spiritual house in order, is my point. And today we take some really big steps in preparing ourselves for great spiritual opportunities in the future. As we deal with forgiveness. Now understand, you have to understand when we talk about forgiveness, I'm not talking about two people that disagree about something. I don't care. You take any two people in this congregation and you put them together, there's going to be something they don't agree on, right? So that's not what forgiveness is, where forgiveness is needful, okay? I just look at it. If you don't agree with me, you're wrong. Go on, right? No, it's not. I'm kidding, right? We've all got our opinions and thoughts and everything. So I'm not talking about just disagreements. I'm talking about debts. The things that cause you to hold grudges and ill will towards somebody. Now again, I tell you, you can't be right with God if you're not right with the family of God. Okay? And so with that in mind, we step into this deep water, if you will, the deep water of forgiveness. And we open with this statement of, we need God's forgiveness. In verse 12 it says, and this is our pattern for prayer, and forgive us our debts. So, I want you to understand from the very beginning, you and I, we all owe a debt that we cannot pay. And our desire has always been, and it still is, in dealing with that debt, to take that debt to God and get God's forgiveness, right? You understand, when you ask for forgiveness, you're asking God to pardon our sin. But it's not just that easy. Matthew, being a numbers man, he was a tax collector, right? So he was a numbers guy. Numbers would, that would have been what he was good at. He said, forgive us our debts. If you go over in the book of Luke, Luke uses the word trespasses, and they both mean sin in this respect. But Matthew was very deliberate in using this word debt. You know what a debt is, right? It's a financial term. In the Greek, it was the same as we know it today. It was a financial word for an obligation that you owed. In this context that it's used, it's a debt of sin. You've always heard we have a sin debt. Now, I want you to go back with me for just a moment to the time before you were saved. Before your sins were cast as far as east is from the west, you had a sin debt that you could not pay. You were in trouble. You had nowhere to turn. So if you were like me, you cried out to Jesus and asked Him to save you and forgive you of that sin debt, and that's exactly what He did. Then your sin problems or your debt problem was over, right? Wrong. I still have a sin problem. If you have a sin problem, would you raise your hand? I have wrong thoughts, wrong attitudes, wrong. I have, so even after I'm saved, I still have to deal with the debt of sin, or actually in dealing with this debt, it's a debt I cannot pay. So repeatedly, time after time, day in and day out, I ask for God's forgiveness. But I want you to understand what you're asking God to do when you ask Him to forgive you of your sin. Most people want to think, well, I say, God, forgive me, and poof, my sin just magically disappears. That's not it. When you ask for God's forgiveness, you are asking God to pardon your debt. In effect, you are asking God to pay your debt. You ever stop? And I want you to chew on that just a minute so you can fully grasp the seriousness of what's being asked. When you ask God to forgive you of your sins, and if God forgives you of your sins, what He's saying is, I will take your debt, I will pay for your debt. And you understand that's what Jesus was about, right? He went to the cross of Calvary. He suffered. He bled. He died. He was bruised. He was afflicted. But He carried our sins to the cross of Calvary. The Bible says He became sin who knew no sin, that He might be sin for us. Because we owed a debt that we could not pay. Now Jesus, in turn, paid a debt He did not owe. Here's what I want you to understand. The beating that Jesus took, you did that. But let's be specific, okay? We want to bundle our sins up in this nice little package and, yeah, we're all sinners and God, please forgive me and it's all gone. Now, let's take a deeper look. When we say forgive us our debts, we're saying, Lord, will You pay for this for me? I can't afford it. So when we talk about the beating that Jesus took before He was crucified, and you've heard the term cat of nine tails, that whip that was embedded with glass and metal and steel that would literally tear the flesh off an individual, Jesus received 39 lashes. That was for my lies. You ever told a lie? You held the whip. You did that to Jesus. You personally. The nails that held Jesus to the cross, Oh, that was, could say it was for my filthy language, that things that I've said that should not come out of the mouth of a Christian. I want you to understand, it's just as though I was holding the hammer and driving the nail. The crown of thorns that was mashed down upon his head is for my immorality. Oh, I know I'm being a little dramatic. But you need to be a little bit dramatic, because I think we do tend to just bundle up our sins and say, "Here, Jesus," and poof, it magically disappears. And that's not it. Every individual sin you have ever committed was laid upon Jesus Christ, and He paid your sin debt. And do you know why? It's for this thing called grace. You understand what grace is? Grace is unmerited favor. Now imagine, if you would, you know, you're sitting here today, and what if I came to you and I said, "I'll pay every debt you have. I'll pay your electric bill, your water bill, your car payment. I will pay your house payment. I'll just pay it all off. Would you let me do that?" If you'd let me do that, would you raise your hand, please? Amen. I'd do the same for you. I said, I want to pay your... That's what Jesus has done for us in reference to our sin. Every individual sin. And why? Because of grace. Unmerited favor. You received what you did not deserve. So in fact, when I ask God's forgiveness, I'm saying, "God, please pay for my immorality. Please pay for my impure mind. Please pay for my bitterness. Please pray for my hatred, my disrespect, my abuse of other people, my filthy speech. Please pay for all that for me, because Lord, I can't pay for it." You know what's wonderful? He does. He does. Do you understand that? I want you to understand how, you know, we don't really like to think of ourselves in this manner, but sometimes we just need to back up and realize what a filthy, sinful, nasty person we are, so that we can understand what a wonderful Savior that Jesus is. As He takes our debt and says, "Yes, I'll pay for it." And you know the really wonderful part? Is that there's no limit to God's forgiveness. I've heard people often say, I've been too bad. You don't understand it. People have told me, "Brother Doug, you don't understand what I've done. Preacher, you just don't understand how bad I've been." And if you make that statement, you don't understand how wonderful and how and what Jesus has done. You're not too bad. For the grace of God. For the forgiveness of sins. Now, there is a sin that there is no forgiveness for, and that is the sin of rejection. Sin of unbelief in the Son of God. You die in that condition, it's too late. But I want you to understand, your immorality, your abuse, whatever else you want to come up with, the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse any man from all unrighteousness. I love John 19:30. Jesus on the cross, it says, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, He said, "What? It is finished." You know what that means, right? Paid in full. Everything you've ever done has been paid for. So when you approach God and you ask, "Lord, forgive us," and notice the "us," because that's a reminder. You know, we tend to look at people and say, "Well, they're bad, they're worse than I am because they did so." No, this is an "us" thing. We all fight the same battles. We all deal with sin. Your sin may be one thing, my sin may be another, but I promise you this, we're all battling the battle of sin. But Jesus paid it all. And He has never, listen to me close because you're going to need this later. Jesus has never told me, "No, Doug, I'll forgive almost anything, but that I cannot forgive." He's never told me that. "Oh, but Jesus, I took your name in vain." I know. I know you did. "But I can forgive that," He says. "Oh, but Jesus, I did." I know. When He said paid in full, it covered every sin, both yours and mine. You're not too good. You're not too bad. Okay? You've got to get that part before you'll get the next part. Because of that glorious grace, because He paid it all, we can say, "Forgive us our debts." Oh, but we got to deal with the next part. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Whew, here's where it gets serious. Here's where I want you to deal with today. I mean, this is the big thing today. Forgive us our debts as we, literally, it says, as we have forgiven our debtors. I don't know why it's never been translated that way. That's the way it's written in the Greek. As we have forgiven our debtors. This is, "Lord, forgive me the way I have already forgiven everybody else." Are you listening? Say amen if you're listening. Your forgiveness from God is contingent upon your forgiveness of others as a child of God. Well, now, Brother Doug, I don't know about that. Let's read verse 14 and 15 of this chapter. I should have read it a while ago, but I didn't. It says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." You can translate that any way you want to translate it, and it comes out the same way every time. It says exactly what it means. And the sad part about it is that there are believers who are living with no joy. They're living without joy, and oftentimes they don't know why. "I just don't understand. I'm doing all the religious stuff. I read my Bible every day. I pray every day. I go to Sunday school or Sunday morning Bible study. I attend that class faithfully. I go to church on Sunday morning. I go to church on Sunday night. I go to church on Wednesday night. I work with Awana. I work with the youth. I serve as a deacon. I'm in ladies ministry. I do all these things, but there's something missing." And what's missing is the forgiveness of sin. You have unforgiven sin. "But Brother Doug, I've confessed that sin. I understand that. But the reason your sin is not forgiven is because you have been withholding forgiveness from others." Whew, this is getting serious. Are you with me? Say amen. It's getting quiet there. I've had people tell me, "Brother Doug, you don't understand. You don't know what they did to me." And you're right. I don't need to know what they did to you that you're holding this grudge about and carrying these ill feelings and this bitterness. I don't need to know. But as you're carrying this bitterness, I want you to know what you have done to Jesus. You beat Him. You did it. Your sin, your debt, you hung Him on that cross. You nailed the nails to his hands and His feet. You spit in His face. You mocked Him. You thrust that spear into His side. No, Brother Doug, I wasn't there. Yes, you were. If you've ever prayed, Lord, forgive me, you were the one that did it. Because you asked Jesus to pay for your sin. And when you ask Jesus to pay for your sin, what do you expect? You expect Him to pay for that sin. And forgive you of that sin. Is there anything that Jesus has ever told you? No, I'm not willing to forgive that. Absolutely not. Well, with that understanding, you understand you are called a child of God, right? As a child of God, we are to have the characteristics of the Father. What are the characteristics of the Father? Forgiveness, mercy, and grace. Brother Doug, what if they've never asked? You know, they've never come to me and apologized. Listen to me, it don't matter. What do you mean it don't? Okay, let's be like Jesus. We're called Christians. That means we're like Christ. Now, when Jesus was on the cross, Luke 23:34, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. I want you to understand what when Jesus prayed that prayer. He prayed that prayer as He was hanging on that cross, watching them gambling beneath Him for His clothes. He prayed that prayer, Father, forgive them, as He was watching them pass by and say, if You're the Son of God, You come down. He prayed that prayer as they spat in His face. And He prayed that prayer just before He said, it is finished. Now, as I thought about that, I know there's some pretty bad things that have gone on in the world, and man is a pretty perverted being and is capable of some really bad things. But you know what? I seriously doubt that anything anybody's ever done to you could be worse than what they did to Jesus. And He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And see, you have to understand what forgiveness really looks like. Forgiveness means that you're bearing the cost for the wrong that they did to you. Once again, when the word forgiveness is used, it's not poof, it's magically gone. When you say, I forgive you, you say, I'm willing to bear it, what you did to me. I'm willing to endure if you stole from me, I'll pay the call. I'll just bear the loss. If you hurt me, I'll just suffer the scars. But you see, that's who we are. And what you have to understand is this. It is so much better for me to look at someone who has abused me and say, I forgive you, than it is for me to go through life of every time I see that individual, I'm filled with bitterness and hatred, and I'm carrying that bitterness and hatred everywhere I go, and I can't get over it. Every time it comes to my mind, I get angry, and I just carry it until it eats me up. So I want you to understand when Jesus says that we're to pray, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. He's not just doing it to abuse you. He's doing it because He knows carrying that bitterness is way worse for you, spiritually speaking, than saying, I'll just bear the cost. Today, I want to ask you. You know, I'm excited about the future of Victor Baptist Church. My goodness, good things are going on. People are being saved. People are being baptized. It's wonderful. We've got all these building plans in the future. That's wonderful. But here's the deal. To be right, we got to get right. And to be used of God in a great manner, we've got to learn how to forgive. Like I say, I'm not talking about those little spat disagreements of, oh, I think this should have went this way, and carpet should have been blue, and curtain should have been red. I'm talking about those things that you're carrying. I guess actually, you know, you can take the little bitty things that don't matter, carry it and just let it fester and it get big and it becomes a forgiveness problem. But, you know, you should never let it get there. Today I'm asking you this. If you're carrying bitterness toward another child of God, it's time to get rid of it. The only way to get rid of it is to forgive them. Now let me tell you, you don't have to go to them and say, you offended me and I expect you. You don't. I'll be honest with you, probably most of the ones that you carry grudges, I don't even have a clue that you're carrying a grudge against them, you know. They don't even have a clue they did anything. But here's what you got to do. You got to take it before Jesus and you got to say, be able to say, God, I forgive them. I forgive them. Lord, they abused me. I forgive them. And I will not hold this against them in the future. You know, you've always heard forgive and forget, right? You know, Bible says forgive and forget. No, it doesn't. You can't forget. You're not going to forget. But you can forgive. And that's what Jesus is asking you to do. Let it go. Move on. Be honest with you, every one of us have been abused and offended at some point, somewhere. I discovered a long time ago, if you're going to be in church work, you don't need to carry stuff. You need to learn how to get rid of it. But that's good advice for all of us. If you're carrying bitterness and unforgiveness, you need to get rid of it today. Because it will affect your usefulness for God in the future. Now, if you're here today and you've never experienced forgiveness, I want to tell you how. It's through Jesus Christ. I said in the beginning, the wonderful news is that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And you can sit where you are and you can say, Brother Doug, I'm just too bad. What you're doing is you're giving yourself an excuse not to receive the forgiveness of God. And there is no excuse for that. Listen, Jesus went to Calvary. He gave His all. He gave everything so that you could experience forgiveness. And all you've got to do is ask. and He'll forgive. Don't leave here lost. And if you're here and you've been carrying bitterness, it's time to get rid of it. Get rid of it during this invitation. Get rid of it in this invitation so that you can move forward and grow and honor God through your service in the future. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful day. We thank you for your beautiful word, your wonderful prayer, Lord. What a beautiful example and a wonderful reminder. Lord, I know you don't tell us these things except for our own good. That it's good for us to be able to forgive. To let go of things of the past. That, Lord, it's for our good and our spiritual well-being. So, Lord, help us. Give us that ability. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And Father, I pray in this invitation, your will be done. And Lord, if there's a move, I pray this move is according to your will and for your glory. If there's not a move, I pray that it's for your will and according to your glory. That everything in this invitation would glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray.